The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. So reliable, it just goes on and on and on.
Good morning, all. This is Ryan Tuberty with you. It is the 8th of July. That would be a Wednesday, the July 2020. We're here till 10 o'clock. The text number is 51551. You can email ryan@rte.ie, I'm afraid to say. And this part of the country, at least, it's cats and dogs emerging from the sky above and has been all day long yesterday, all night long last night, all morning this morning. But we can only hope that whoever you are, the rain has dissipated, the sun is shining, and the future is bright. They're saying it's going to get better and better. I suspect the more we say it, the more realistically likely it will be. So hold on to each other and just live in hope. Is it any wonder that the top word of 2020 is COVID? I mean, this is probably the most obvious research I've ever read, according to Global Language Monitor, which is a company that tracks trends in worldwide use of the English language. And the top 20 words of 2020 so far, it being only July, I suspect there could be a whole heap of other words that could become de rigueur within minutes, given that every week, every day is an episode of Reeling in the Years. So let's not hold on to these as necessarily definitives. The top word is COVID. Second most, I suppose, popular word. And popular is not the right word, most used, definitely, is COVID-19. So that's a kind of variation of a theme. Then it's coronavirus. And then it's corona, from the Latin for crown. So much for that. And then at five, it's face mask. And then six is progress. Good luck with that. Seven is truth. Depends where you live. Eighth is social distancing. And then nine is trade war. Then it goes on to sustainability. Then it goes into things like flatten the curve, lockdown, identity politics, progressives, Zoom meeting, quarantine, migrants, Donald Trump, symptoms and outbreak. All conflating. Virus, Trump, all the issues of the day, all in there. That's just the top 20. There's another 100 words there, but we simply don't have time. A piece by Ben Riley Smith this morning talks about something that happened one Friday afternoon last month, where a group of political heads logged on to a Zoom meeting to have a war game to imagine what would happen after the US election. And these were people, senior figures who once worked in the White House or the Pentagon, the Homeland Security and the Congress. And they all sat and played this, worked out this scenario. Imagine that it became clear that the morning after the vote for the next election, it was still not clear who was the winner. So they were trying to figure it out. So for 4 hours, they worked it out. And they said they reckon that within 2 days, the president halted the delivery of the remaining mail-in ballots. Within a week, troops were called out to guard counting stations. By inauguration day, after weeks of legal challenges and street protests, neither side had backed down. And they were all sort of sitting there looking at each other, as they say here, staring at the screen, saying, holy this would be a constitutional crisis. And with just 4 months until voting day, a question once considered unthinkable is now being asked. What if the US president does not accept an election defeat? It's not beyond the bounds. I mean, nothing is beyond the bounds. And they quote a retired army general called Lawrence Wilkerson. He bumped into a Republican senator. And the senator said, look, park everything for a minute. I want to ask you a very serious question. Get rid of all the staff at random. He said, I want to talk to you man to man, person to person. He said, I want to ask you a question. If things were really to go sour and the president loses and refuses to leave, or leaves and in either case calls a lot of his base to the streets and they come armed, what will the US military do? The question was stark. A senator from Mr. Trump's own party was asking, what would the army do if their own commander-in-chief refuses to accept election defeat? It's kind of unnerving to read that, but unfortunately it's one of those things that nowadays everything is more possible than it was and could have been, particularly to the negative, than 2 years ago or even a year ago. And whether that's a virus or political upheaval or what have you, it's just the certainties in life are less so than ever. We march on into other stories now. Liverpool boss Jurgen Klopp, according to the42.ie, has written the foreword for a new book by Martina Cox, who is the wife of Sean Cox. And Dunboyne native Sean suffered a severe brain injury in a vicious, unprovoked attack before Liverpool's Champions League game against Roma in 2018. And Martina, who is an extraordinary lady, she said that the last 2 years have been unimaginably difficult, but our love for Sean and determination that he gets the best care possible has kept us going. It has been an uphill battle, but he's making progress every day. We wish them both very, very well, and that's going to be a fascinating book, and hopefully something that'll be, strange to say this, but kind of useful for the family. When you get things down on paper, there's something about it that is kind of liberating in a sense. So I wish them well in that project. The Irish Examiner, quoting the Association for Counselling and Psychotherapy, who had a launch yesterday, just 3 in 10 men in Ireland would attend counselling or psychotherapy. Isn't that funny? I would have thought that, and we're talking about generation 25 to 34, I would have thought those numbers would be much higher. I thought that the 20-somethings were much more talkative about their emotions compared to my crowd, and specifically when it came to things like counselling or psychotherapy. So that comes as a surprise to me. The figures come as a new Dublin mural is unveiled to encourage men to seek therapy if they're struggling with their mental health. The survey also found that men are less likely than women to have personally attended a counselling or psychotherapy session. But it's a Joe Caslin, he does wonderful murals special, and he said that the figures in his work represent ordinary people and their experiences, which is lovely. But I just was quite surprised by that figure. I thought it would be a lot higher. But there you are. But that's probably why they have to have a launch for that very purpose. Usain Bolt, the Jamaican former sprinter, shared pictures of his first child on Twitter as he wished his partner, Cassie Bennett, a happy birthday. And that's all good news. He had a baby girl, and that's excellent news. And she looks set to be following her father's footsteps. Why? Because of the name he gave her. Do you know what Usain Bolt called his daughter? I didn't know this until today. He called his daughter, or they called their daughter, Olympia Lightning. That's her first and second name, which is pretty impressive. Olympia Lightning Bolt. That is the name. And that is right there in her nappy, the expectations for the rest of her life. She better be a goddess, and she better be fast, and she better win stuff at the Olympics. Olympia Lightning Bolt. Brackets, no pressure. We spoke about the movie Greed yesterday, which stars Steve Coogan in this fast fashion drama that I really enjoyed. And actually, Siobhan watched it and concurred, so that's good news. I'll get to Hamilton in a minute, by the way. I'll get to Hamilton in a minute. But Greed was great, the film, not the concept. And I mentioned over the weekend that this stuff had happened. Boohoo, the fashion firm, has been in trouble for their practices, shoddy practices in terms of who they employ and how the conditions that people work in, and paid conditions and workplace conditions and all of those things. And the shop Next has dropped Boohoo clothes from its websites. ASOS and Zalando followed suit on Tuesday, that's yesterday. And this follows the report claiming workers at a Leicester factory were paid £3.50 an hour while being offered no protection from coronavirus. And Boohoo said that if the reports were true, conditions were totally unacceptable. The company, which also owns the Nasty Gal and Pretty Little Things brands, has denied any responsibility but said it would thoroughly investigate the claims. A bit late now, isn't it? But the fast fashion retailer declined to comment on the moves by Next, ASOS and Zalando. But there's definitely a move afoot there, and they seem to be responding to the story. Boohoo shares fell 16% on Monday and another 12% yesterday. And that can only be a good thing, because they'll never learn until you hit them in the pockets and say, clean up your act, lads, or get out, or lose your money. That seems to be the message there. So here's hoping. Here's hoping indeed. And there is, for anyone who watched Succession, one of the best dramas I've ever seen, particularly in recent times, the BBC are doing a documentary a brand new documentary series on the Murdochs. So that's kind of like Succession, but in real life. And it is about the Australian businessman, particularly obviously Rupert Murdoch, who owns the Times, the Sun, the Wall Street Journal, and Fox News. And that'll start on Tuesday, the 14th of July, on BBC Two at 9. I will be watching. And it'll be 3 episodes in total. The first is entitled Kingmaker, and looks at how no British Prime Minister has ever apparently won office without the support of Murdoch, obviously since he became important. Starting off in 1995, the documentary series sees a young Tony Blair jetting halfway around the world to woo Murdoch. Like, to woo the papers guy, the media guy, in the hopes of becoming the next British Prime Minister. Amazing. I saw Tony Blair briefly on CNN. He needs to take a little break, I think, head off to the Aran Islands for a couple of days and just calm down and rest. While many retailers are facing a fight for their survival in the wake of COVID-19, Danish household and furniture specialist, is it Jysk, J-Y-S-K? Jysk? Appears to be going from strength to strength, having already opened 7 outlets across Ireland. There are 7 here already. I've never seen or heard of these shops. But the company pressed ahead in the midst of the lockdown with an agreement to open its first Dublin store.
Ah.
At Gulliver's Retail Park in Northwood in Century. Gulliver's Retail Park. Tall story. 51551 is the text number this morning. And what have I got for you here? Shirley Ethna says the list of top words should include wash your hands. We'll have to look at that. We're definitely in Julember, says Claire. We are. But there's something, sometimes there's nothing wrong with that if you can get the fire on and enjoy it. And sometimes the pressure when it's too sunny all the time, you have to go out, have to go out, enjoy the sun. So it's quite nice to be forced indoors in some ways. But not necessarily in the middle of a pandemic. I get that. Moving on. Peter Sellers was in a film called Being There about an American president. When I saw it, I thought it could never happen. Not so sure now, says Jack. You never know. I got to see Hamilton because of the rain that fell. I put the fire on. I said, right, what is this thing? 2 hours, 40 minutes. Okay. Had to prep it. Phone off. Sort it out. What is it? I'm not anti-musical. Just to give you a little flavour. What do I like musical-wise? Jesus Christ Superstar, I absolutely love. I just think it's funky and interesting and well sung. I went to see it a few times in the Lyceum Theatre in London in the 90s. And thoroughly enjoyed it. Okay, so that's that one. Phantom of the Opera. How can you not love it? It's amazing. It's all of the things. You know, your mother would have it on vinyl. You know, that's, well, mine did. But so I kind of got a nostalgic enjoyment of it. But I thoroughly enjoy it. I also have enormous time for the singing talents of Colin Wilkinson, like in Les Mis, for example. All of this, Hamilton. It's about Alexander Hamilton. It's about the start of the revolution in America and against the British, and of course the declaration or the signature of the independence thing, all of that, and American history, most of which I didn't really know too much about. 10 minutes in, I'm thinking I can't hear a word they're saying. I don't know what they're talking about, and I'm not sure what's happening here. So, and it's largely because it's a stage version that we're watching on the TV. So what I did was I banged on the subtitles and that changed everything. And it wasn't because the diction was bad. It was just because the sound was from a stage and that wasn't great production. Does that make sense? So I said, okay, I'll put on the subtitles. And suddenly I was able to read, watch, enjoy and take it all in. And how was it for me? It was excellent. Absolutely. I was surprised by how much I enjoyed it. I stayed with it. I learned from it. I was sitting there looking at the energy of the cast, the amount of words. It was like if Eminem wrote a musical with Kanye West about American history, this is what happens on stage. It was a real surprise and a very welcome one. And so much then, as I say, the energy of it and the skill of the cast and they even have a 1 minute interval in the middle of it, even though it's on TV. It's really good. So thank you for the steer, Kate Olin, colleague and friend. And because I was trying to figure out who to blame, but actually I can say who to thank because that's what's happened here. I was dreading it that much. So it gets a yes. It's a yes from me. I thought it was just terrific, especially on a really rainy July day. That helped matters enormously. I was looking out the window thinking, ice cream. Now, so that's a yes. Okay, so that's a nice surprise. And it was great. And I think you'll enjoy. And the music is wonderful. Didn't realize until my youngest told me that the guy who wrote it and directed and everything did the songbook is the same guy who plays Bert in the remake of Mary Poppins. So, oh, that makes sense. And then I recognize the two faces because he plays the lead role in the TV version of Hamilton. There you go. Now, we know Ringo was 80 yesterday. Ringo Starr from the Beatles. And I got so caught up with my chat with Kelly Harrington that I couldn't play a song because we were just enjoying the chat as I was enjoying it immensely. And so I didn't get to the second song, which would have been this one. And given the day that's in it, and now my Beatle drumming fraternity and sorority upstairs were telling me that this is Ringo at his best on the drums. This wouldn't be a particularly well-known song if you're not a Beatle head, but it is a terrific song that you can imagine Oasis going, oh, we'll have that. It's very much, you can see Oasis going, I want that one. I like that one. All right, so, and the name of this song? Rain. Beautiful. That's the Beatles and Rain. Yes, is a text. Rain by the Beatles. The greatest B-side ever released. Well, I'll leave that up to you guys to discuss. 51551. Got a whopper of a bunch of flowers yesterday from the Flowers. Where were they from? Flowerfarmersireland.ie, celebrating Irish Flower Week. A celebration of sustainably grown seasonal flowers by the Flower Farmers of Ireland, a countrywide network of growers. The reason I mention is because I'm a fan of flowers. I love flowers in my kitchen, particularly the ones they sent, because they were kind of country garden, possibly reminded me of Connemara a little bit, with there was kind of grasses in them. And they were gorgeous. Normally, I head down to Joe and Greens and say, Joe, I don't even have to say, give me that. I say, give me a few quid's worth of... And he says, I know what you want. No carnations, no lilies, no tulips. Correct. And nothing pink in it. Correct. I'm not anti-pink. I just think them as flowers, they don't do anything. And carnations, no. Tulips go dead quite quickly. And lilies, I'm afraid, remind me of the altar. And I'm not up for that, particularly if there's a coffin in front of it. So we'll hold off that. And also the stuff on the stem, you know, the thing that the pollen-y thing that gets on you, you can never get rid of it. So no to that, but thank you. Ringo is a star, says Adrian. Yes, I'm a drummer and I met Ringo's son, Zach Starkey, 25 years ago when I ran into him in a pub in Germany. He was a gent and brought me off to a Who gig, crash, for a night. He was playing with them and since has played with Oasis. Good man, Adrian. You had a good night out that time. Oh my God, everything Oasis ever wrote and sang is in this one song, says Sarah. Exactly. Now download Revolver and I'll talk to you tomorrow. Good morning. My 13-year-old son came running down the stairs yesterday so excited because Hamilton was available on Disney Plus. He loves American history. He tried to get his 5-year-old sister to watch it with him, but she was having none of it, says Bevan. Good man. He's okay. The future's safe. What age is Hamilton suitable for, Ryan? Is it suitable for smaller children? No. Not only would they not like it, is there profanity? Yeah, there's a bit here and there, but negligible, and it goes so fast. Like, you want to look, particularly the lead guy. How does he manage to remember all that? Like, he's constantly going, and it's so complicated. And the lyricism of it, the language is so good and intriguing and so well cobbled together, put together, I should say. Anyway, no, it's not for smaller kids. You want to be 12 up. Also, you'd be bored. It's 2 hours and 40 minutes. You're bored stiff, not a princess or a prince inside you. Do your or a cape, in a manner of speaking. I'm a middle-aged, middle-class white man. Yes, Will in Dublin. Not Hamilton's target audience, I suspect. I'm still picking my jaw up off the floor after watching it. It was extraordinarily good. I too turned on the subtitles and it transformed the whole thing. It's great to listen to Hamilton's soundtrack on Spotify. I have it on the kitchen all the time, especially in this weather. It transports you. Yeah, I listen a lot to Aideen Gormley's movies and musicals on a Saturday afternoon on Lyric FM. It's a great show. She's brilliant. And she kind of puts you that way. You'd hear a Hamilton thing and go, all right, I've never thought about listening or going to something like that. But what I'd love to do now is see Hamilton on the stage on Broadway, or indeed in the West End, or indeed in Dublin. But it'll be a while before all that happens. We have a guest. She is waiting outside. We will bring her in to say hello to us and to you after this.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.
All right, anti-racism and global justice education should be compulsory at all levels of education, says Gertrude. I agree. But aren't there some classes in schools that you could incorporate that into? And I think that they should do just that. What a salt of the earth woman, says the text. Let us never be racist in Ireland. Well, here's hope. And Ruth was on to say, gorgeous interview. My 10-year-old grandson called his mother to listen to it. This is a great interview, Mum. This is where it starts, as you say, Ruth. Young people, good news. Pat in Cork says it's good to know that the government programme to tighten the anti-hate legislation is happening or due to happen, here's hoping. Much love from Catherine Shake. We spoke about Catherine, the first woman of colour, as we heard from Marguerite. She met at 12. Catherine says, you were and always are sweet, cool and kick-ass great. Super proud of you from your little friend who still hasn't grown up. Love our brown shades. What a lovely message. One more break to take before we... You should definitely go and see Hamilton live, says the text. I took my daughter to London's daughters to see it 2 years ago. They're aged 11 and 16 and they were blown away. An amazing stage show, brilliantly choreographed. My younger daughter wrote to Lin-Manuel Miranda, who wrote and played Hamilton, asking him to bring the show to the Bord Gáis Theatre. And he responded with the most beautiful, long, chatty letter to her. A real gentleman. That's a class act indeed. It's 10 o'clock. We've got to say goodbye. Stay tuned for our Sarah McInerney. Have a wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.